Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. With me today, I have Melissa Ma. I meant to ask you, Melissa, how to pronounce your surname before I get that wrong all the way through. I got it right. Excellent. So Melissa is a dedicated mother and she's a businesswoman. But importantly, I mean, the other things are, of course, are important, but while we've got Melissa speaking today, is she has over 20 years' experience in the financial service industry. Now, that's working predominantly as a financial planner, but also as a stockbroker and a seminar delivery specialist. And Melissa has worked with a variety of employers from large financial institutions such as SunSuper and Suncorp and Westpac, which will be known for those that are listening in Australia, maybe not so much for the ones overseas. Just imagine it, your large banks, and to small boutique financial planning firms. Melissa consolidated all her knowledge around finances and her love of working with people and has created her own business money coaching business called Talking Money. And Talking Money is about changing people's lives, providing the tools and support and framework to empower them to have the clarity and awareness around their money. Melissa creates a safe space to have real conversations about your money and is passionate about getting the message out there that it's okay not to be okay with money. And because guess what? Most people aren't alone. I found that fascinating and I just really want to hear a bit more about it. So Melissa loves to keep fit and healthy and enjoys spending time with her two children. She loves good company and food and wine are essential. Hence why I know we've just only met, but we're going to get on absolutely famously, Melissa. Melissa has been a member of the Financial Planning Association since 1997 and she holds a Bachelor of Commerce in Finance and a Diploma of Financial Planning, and is a certified financial planner. Welcome, Melissa. I'm going to enjoy our conversation today.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me. It's very exciting.
Sorry, I didn't catch the last part of that.
Yeah, very exciting. It's great to be here and very exciting. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, so am I. I know we were chatting the other day. You know, there was something that you said that, you know, that really caught me, women should never give their power, give away their power because of their story.
Yeah.
And I wanted to build on that particularly. So what does that mean exactly?
Well, I guess, Janine, it's come very much from personal experience of giving away my power and just working with women around just our internal beliefs or our, you know, internal beliefs and laws that become absolute habits for us, where we're giving away our power to external people or places or things or events, and looking for that silver bullet, looking for that silver fix on the outside, where it's actually we've got it all inside, and that's, you know, hence why we're giving away our power and looking for the solution externally, whereas it's actually all internally for us, already inside us there. So it's about going and addressing those internal beliefs to understand your story and not give away your power to anyone.
And that's not just money then, is it? You know, that's on everything in life.
Yeah. It's funny, my business, and I've learned this going, you know, of this becoming more and more of a big part of my business with money story with their women. I come in on the money, but it's never about the money. Money is purely a symptom of something else is going on. And I find this, you know, giving away our power, it comes through our relationship with money or actually our personal relationships in our life. And the two are also very interrelated. So I guess that's, you know, I come in on the money, but it's actually not about the money. There's something a lot there.
No. Yeah. And so have you found it's just particularly women or is that you mostly work with women, or do men have a different belief system or story?
That's really interesting. I work with women in all different ways, shapes and forms. So women, I work with women that are single. I work with women that are in couples. I work with women that have actually just recently separated or divorced, and also older women. So it's just, it's whoever I work with, it's about empowering them to live and breathe this. But I guess I work with women one-on-one, but also a very big part of my business, and I was just talking some a couple that I've started working with last night, is working with couples around their own individual money stories. So understanding where they're coming from. So because I guess I'm sure everyone that's listening to this can resonate with this, of, you know, trying to have a conversation around money with, you know, someone important in your life. So whether that's your partner or whether that's a family member or something like that, with all the great intentions of having this powerful conversation and it going pear-shaped really, really quickly. So I do work with a lot with couples around that disconnect. You know, their relationships are sound, their relationships are great, but they've got to the point where they cannot speak to each other about money because it's so emotive and there's so much else going on there that they don't even, they can't understand themselves, and there's this real disconnect. And what it is, it's their individual money stories from both sides that there's, you know, there's the perceptions and the filters and the and everything coming into that conversation that they don't even, they're not even aware about. And I mean, I even just initially talking to this couple last night, I gave them an example of what was happening there, of, you know, what they were bringing into the conversation that they didn't even realize it was about, with, and it was related to their money stories.
Yeah, that is really, that's very fascinating.
Yeah.
And I just relate it to myself and my husband is, if we've really had any disagreements or arguments that have been serious, you know, that have sort of, that we've both held on to our story and our belief, and, you know, each one of us, of course, was the, you know, right, was about money. It just, and we have such different beliefs and ideals about money, and I'm very conscious of his because they're so conservative.
Yes,
but it does, and it's affected. You know, it's affected how what we've done and with investments and things like that because of each one of our own stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, I mean, it's just, and we are all different. There is never a situation where we're going to be the same. And I guess, you know, to be a bit flippant, it's, you know, use your differences for good instead of evil, because you can actually really work together and complement each other hugely around bringing your own different money and stories in. So it's just understanding what your money stories are and then understanding what the triggers, what those stories are, what that other person, and particularly someone that's very close to you, okay, usually you mean your relationship or your partner or a parent or whoever, it's something said and it triggers the other person because of their money story. And the other person, it's not even really what, it's not their intention of what they're saying, but because it's being perceived by the other person and triggering something in them because of their money story, that's where it all goes pear-shaped and blows up and everyone just goes, oh, I can't talk to you about money. You're ridiculous.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. And look, you know, just you know, give a little secret about my husband. Even some of the investment things that we have done, he hasn't slept for days. Mm-hmm. It really affected his health, and it just bothered him so much that some things we just couldn't move forward on because that's just what he had, the behavior he'd learned from his family, and then brought that through into his belief system as well. So
a very deep-seated sense of security needed there from whatever his story is. But that's it's very important for security and safety for him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have that as a child, or, you know, I mean, Janine, the most important thing about this is there's no good or bad or right or wrong about it. It's just our stories. They're usually, you know, these are usually implemented implanted by the time we're about seven, and then those beliefs are just, you know, we sort of continue those beliefs and keep them alive through our lives, and everything keeps showing up on the outside and go, oh, yeah, that's my belief. Yep. And it's, people don't realize it's actually, we think it's our external environment that's impacting us, but it's actually completely the other way around. It's our internal environment, our laws and our beliefs, that is bringing in everything in our external environment. And when you understand that, it can be quite confronting, but it can also be really powerful because we are in the position to be able to change that and take our power back.
Mm. And that, as parents then too, the money story that we share within the family, no, we can't afford that, no, we can't do that, and continually having that as part of the influencing story, then that's something we've got to be mindful as parents as to, you know, how we then deliver that to our children, because that's what they take on as well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've got two young children that are 9 and 11, and so as I've grown and really, you know, this has morphed into something, you know, very big and powerful, that I've become very, very aware of actually how I speak to my children. So I don't say we can't afford it anymore, because that's an immediately scarcity and lack and, a scarcity and lack mindset. You know, I try and reframe that and say, you know, we're choosing to spend our money on something else, or that we're doing this. So it's just changing it. It's changing that habit of saying, well, we can't afford it. I mean, it's just where I'm just choosing to spend our money on something else this week.
Mm. It's quite a different language then, isn't it?
Exactly.
Interesting. I'm just thinking of my two grown sons who've got quite different responses to money as well. So, again, it's part of, you know, that inner personality as well as what's heard, discussed, and so there's a whole lot of influencing internal factors.
Sure. And, I mean, on the flip side of that, me and my children, and they don't even actually ask anymore because they know what my response is, but they ask me sometimes if so-and-so is wealthy. Mm. And I've taken actually dollars or financial aspect of that completely out of the equation. So my thing is, you know, now they know, and my mantra is, are they happy? Are they healthy? Have they got good friends? Have they got great family support? You mean, so it's completely changing what being wealthy actually means to my children, because it's actually not about money.
No. And just something on that too is there's thing that I just speak about quite a bit. It's our set point, and, you know, it's one of those reasons why if you as somebody who has a lot of money, loses money, can make it back easily, whereas somebody who doesn't have money may win a lot of money and lose that very quickly as well, and return to that set point where that inner belief is what they have and what is all that they have. Do you come across that?
Absolutely. And that's very much, you know, that below the line, scarcity and lack mindset. And, you know, it's like it's an age old saying, but where your focus, you know, where your focus goes, your energy goes. So if you think that, guess what? It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's really trying to, you know, come back above the line, be in an abundance and wealth mindset, and, you know, believe that you actually, that this, you are worthy and you are wealthy in that sense. I think the classic example of that is when people win lotto, you know, they win a huge amount of money, and within, you know, probably sometimes within 12 months, they've just lost it all, or they've given it all away. And I think a bit of that is also they feel like they don't deserve that money, so they just actually give it away. Mm. They give it away to everyone else because of their, you know, their belief system stuff around worthiness and value and you know, that sort of thing. So it's a really interesting point that you brought up with that, about that, because it's, yeah, what is wealth?
Yes, and that's it, is, isn't it? And life is easier with money in the bank. That's without a doubt. You know, it does create, you know, that ease of making decisions that with money in the bank, because you're not thinking. Your choices are wider, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's
freedom.
Yeah. And that's important. That's one of the things that we were speaking about with women in particular, because women are in and out of the workforce usually because they are the child bearers and the child rearers in most situations, not always, and they don't often have the opportunity to build as big a career as their male partner, that they are the ones that don't have the superannuation, you know, they have got a lot less as they mature financially, and then if this relationship breaks down or something changes, then they're really stuck behind the eight ball, aren't they, because they haven't had the opportunity to.
Absolutely. I mean, this is starting to happen with women, particularly in their sort of 60s and 70s, that they're actually, and when they retire, they don't have a home, they don't, you know, they actually are in poverty. Mm. There's a very big piece around that with financial resilience and everything with the state and the federal government around building this financial resilience to help these women, because they've really actually got nothing. Mm-hmm. They're not even being able to get a home because they can't afford, if they're just living on, you know, basically a pension or whatever, they can't even really afford to actually get to live somewhere. So there's a big push around, you know, providing these women with affordable living, at least so they've actually got a home. And also these ventures, you know, being created where women are sharing in their later life. They're actually sort of flatmates. They're sharing homes and stuff like that, just to sort of ease the burden and the load of, you know, of having very limited income.
Mm-hmm. And that's often people that have come from a situation where they've been very comfortable, and then situation changes. And that would be, I would imagine, if you're working with people like that, that would be very despondent for them and quite sad.
Yes. Yeah. And they feel trapped. They feel that there's no way out. They've completely disempowered. They've given their way. You know, I mean, they are completely, completely disempowered. So it can all look pretty bleak from that perspective. So it's about really, you know, turning that around and, you know, with assistance of the tangible sort of assistance of, you know, home and you know, place to live and that sort of thing. But it's also, you know, the money, their stories that they are worth, they're still worthy, they're still amazing women and probably very strong and resilient from what they've been through, and to provide them with the support to be able to, I guess, rise above it.
And I'm seeing, because, you know, the big women that I'm working with, you know, in micro and small businesses, that they're, you know, they're passionate about what they do and they've got great products, but they're not, you know, creating the income that they really do need to be able to live and to be able to create that future for themselves. So, Ben, how can they set themselves up a bit more financially if they're in that situation?
I guess this comes from huge, like, very personal experience of, you know, setting my own business up from scratch. I mean, the thing is, we can go and we set all the beautiful tangible stuff up on the outside, which is obviously very important, but it's
meaning what sort of tangible stuff you're talking about at the moment?
Like, you know, your website and demarketing and advertising and, you know, just setting all your business stuff up, but the aspects of your business. But I mean, I have experienced this myself in my own business, but my biggest block in my business was me and believing, you know, not suffering the imposter syndrome as, you know, who the hell would actually work with me and, you know, and also pay me. So it's this, it's once again, it's our money story. It's our stories that are holding us back from valuing our self-worth and charging accordingly for it. So it's very, you know, especially I said this to someone the other day, there's nothing like starting your own business to have to really value who you are, your self-worth, and you know, and be loud and proud about charging for it. So that's, and I think we can all hide a bit when we're employed and we're receiving an income and stuff like that, that it's not as in your face. But when you actually start your own business, and it's about, you know, valuing yourself, because that's what you mean as a coach. I'm my product. That's it. And then just having to really value that, and that you're making a, you know, that you are making a significant, you know, contribution and difference to people's lives, but you really need to believe that. So it comes back to looking at your stories, but and particularly your money story.
And it is that valuing self, and it's really what you said is so true. I have people deal with women who come to me because they, you know, can't promote themselves and their own business. You know, they're shy about it, and they can't get the right sales story and the right message because they feel. Yes. that they're not worthy, as you said, the imposter syndrome. But some of them have come from a telemarketing or a sales corporate background, and it's okay when they're selling somebody else's product. But once they're selling their product, which then is a judgment of themselves, whether they're a hypnotist or they sell cosmetics or, you know, whatever they're doing, they then see that as a judgment of themselves personally, and it's a totally different belief system and story that they have, and they have trouble communicating it. So I can imagine when it comes to the money part as well, it's just an extension of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, you know, it's the money story is, you know, the symptom of something else that's going on, but it comes out in our valuing ourselves. Yeah, on a business perspective of actually charging for our service and charging a proper, you know, a reasonable amount for actually our services. So it comes out in that way with regards to business. Because, I was a financial planner for 20 years. I've never had any issues whatsoever of charging plan fees, never missed skipped a beat. Mm. But then when it becomes you and you're charging for your services, it's a whole different ballgame.
Mm. Yes, but see, the thing is, again, if somebody, you know, they work with you and they overcome that money story, they've gone from a mindset of scarcity and lack into a mindset of abundance, then they're going to bring that in. So the cost of, you know, what you bring into their lives is possibly immeasurably emotionally, but financially it's significant as well. And it's the same with a lot of us coaches, you know, what value do you bring in financially down the track to somebody? But people look at cost, though, don't they, rather than...
Yeah, and look, I mean, I've started saying working with me and your investment in yourself will be this. Mm. So I actually don't even call it a cost anymore. Mm. It's an investment. Mm. And it's an investment on your behalf and a commitment to make a change on your behalf, because I'm very, very... upfront about I only work with people, well, number one, that I like.
The benefits of having my own. I'm with you on that, absolutely. I've said no to a few people.
We set our own businesses up, I think, but also people that are committed to making a change. You know, I mean, they recognise that they need to do something different to make a difference, and they're very committed to make a change. And so that's because otherwise it's a complete waste of their money and my time. And so that for me is the core of working with people, is that they really are committed to making a change and doing something.
Mm. You know, so I was talking to someone the other day, and I was just talking, you know, about this valuing self enough. Mm. And it was a young lawyer who is the lawyer graduates of probably some of the worst paid employees in Australia. They really do, and a lot of them work for nothing until they get some experience under their belt. And then eventually, you know, work for 20 years and pay off their uni debts and start making really good money then. But I was speaking to this young man the other day, and so he's working with this business to get experience. And they asked him to do something that he didn't think was part of his learning experience.
Yes.
So he said, no, I'm not going to create those spreadsheets because I'm here to learn how to deal with the law.
Yep.
Now, there were four women at that table. All of us were quite, you know, all business-minded and quite and strong. And all four of us said we would have done it. We would have bitched about it, but we would have done it.
Yeah.
Whereas he valued himself and respected himself enough to say, no, that's not what I do.
Yes.
Now, he was younger, obviously, than everyone else there. So I think that's a little bit of a component. I really would like to think that younger women may be taking more of that space that, no, I respect myself more than that. But it was so interesting that everyone there just said they would have done it.
I know. So we are our own worst enemies. This is the problem that comes from our money story or our stories. And I mean, I know there's another story, and I can't remember the exact percentages, but it's, you know, when a man or a woman goes for a job, and look, it's some extraordinary difference in percentages of if they can think they if men can think they can do 50% of the the job, they'll put their hand up. But women have to make sure they can do like probably at least 90% of the job or 100% of the job before they would even.
I have heard that before, yeah.
You know, it's some ridiculous incongruency of, and it's sort of, it's, you know, supporting your comment around, we are, you mean, why? Why do we do this? It's just, and you know, I'm so, I don't know, just so passionate about, I don't even want us to have these financial resilience programs with the government. I actually want to get in and educate women that they have the tools and the, you know, and empowered and all that sort of thing, that we don't even need to have financial resilience because they've already got it. They've got it themselves. We don't need to go and spend millions and billions of dollars to actually do it.
How do they find it and how do they build, how, you know, what could somebody do if they're going, well, it's not me, I'm, you know, sitting here thinking how much I don't have. So how, what tip would you give somebody to switch that around?
I guess from a personal perspective, it's just having to really, I guess, shine a light on what's going on in your life and, you know, get out of victim mode. And, you know, I say that with complete love and respect because I think we all dip into that victim mode because it's everyone, it's our external world, it's external people, it's everyone else's fault except ourselves. And we're out there looking for that silver bullet or that silver fix or the bright shiny lights and that sort of thing. And it's just, and that is where we give away our power. That's actually how we give away our power. So it's actually bringing it back in and saying, you know what, I've actually got the answers inside. I just need to give myself some space and, you know, think about what it is and have a look at what's going on in my external world, particularly if it's not great, and go, okay, I don't like the word lessons or because I didn't have to go out and learn lessons, but, you know, what learnings or what gifts am I, is this giving me to actually work out what's going on and, you know, what's this, why is this triggering me? So it's really just providing that space, whether you can do it yourself or, you know, working with someone else or whatever, but to understand why this is your world is happening, because it's, you know, as I said before, people think it's our external environment impacting us internally, but it's completely the other way around. It's our internal, our internal world that is building our, creating our environment outside. So I think it's perception is our reality. That's cool.
Mm. And I do know a few people that live in that victim mode. And you know what I've noticed about what they do as well is their language. The language that they use externally, which then the subconscious hears and then takes in and says, thank you very much, I'll believe that story now. But it's that space of using those words that pull them down.
Absolutely. And you can, when you become I'm the first one to put my hand up that I've been living in victim world, and I didn't actually realize that until I had to do the final, you know, piece of the pie recently of actually I'm still dipping in and out of this victim mode and stuff like that, and I need to take my power back and I need to really own this. So it's when you do that, you become so aware of when other people are talking in that way that you just said about, you know, being negative and being in victim mode, and it's everyone else's fault and it's never anything about me. Janine, I think it comes back to that huge lack of, you know, accountability and ownership of you, because if it's, you know, if you can blame everyone else, it's nothing to do with you. You don't actually have to shine a light on yourself. You can sort of blame everyone else, which is victim mode and completely giving away your power, because you're never going to be able to get anywhere because you're not looking at what is going on for you.
Correct. And really interesting on that, I was interviewed the other day by a lady in the US, and it was about confidence really, and she wanted to know where mine had come from and why had I always been confident, and it was a really interesting question when you start to analyze it. And I sort of mentioned some different things that I thought it was, but then I'm laying in bed the other night and I'm thinking, exactly what is that thinking? Where is that space and what is that belief? And that control is part of it. Yes. It's not the whole picture, but it is part of it, because I've actually learnt to release a lot of control, because it's not healthy either. But, yeah. But yeah. It's that being in control of my outcome and my results. So if I can't, make it somebody else's responsibility. It can't be my parents. It can't be my spouses. It can't be other people influencing me. And I have been in a situation of late where I'm changing something around, and this is what sort of raised it up. I'm going, you're allowing other people to influence you, and you don't usually. You know, why yeah. are you doing that? And it's, and I've had to analyze that, and yes. and still in the process of stepping away from that. But it, that's what it came down to, is that control, that I could not blame and put anyone else responsible for the stuff that happens in my world. And that was, you know, went, okay, there, I get that now. So it's exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just a, you know, I mean, I've sort of a similar, you know, I mean, I present as a, as you probably know, and we both, you know, I mean, as a very, very confident, outgoing person. And so I actually said to my mother once, I said, oh, I've got, you know, I think I've got some issues with, you know, around confidence and self-worth and stuff like that. She goes, oh, Debbie, ridiculous. You're the most confident person I know. You can get up and speak in front of hundreds of people. And it's just, it wasn't a, you know, I mean, it wasn't about that. Hmm. And it's going back and then looking at what, yeah, so you can be confident about going over them, you can still sort of be in victim mode as well. So it's like a...
That's interesting. So it's, yeah.
And the thing is with this, like, you can't just click your fingers and for it all to happen overnight, because this could be, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years of absolutely ingrained laws and beliefs that you have. Inside. So it's a continual process and path to, you know, to just sort of keep looking at this and looking at, you know, shining a light and seeing what's going on. I mean, I've been working with a lady and she had a massive transformation of something that happened when she was 10 years old, and she's in her 40s now. It's completely changed her life. And so I met with her this week, and, you know, on the thing, I would say, this has been fantastic, great, well done, amazing. And then something else, because she's sort of in this space and opened up to it, something else has come up as well that has triggered her. So she's going to, well, there's something else that we need to work through and around, you know, her, another, a law or belief that she's got. This was about being a people pleaser, and it sort of came out in a really roundabout, bizarre way. But it's creating a space to have the conversation, or have a safe conversation about it, I think is really, really important with someone that, you know, that can just listen. Mm. And it was, you know, both times for her, it was just something, a question I asked her, or I think that situation was saying, you know, she was telling me about it, something happened, that an event that had happened. And I said, okay, well, let's, you know, shine the light on this and see what, you know, what gift you can get from this. And she was like, oh, no gift. It was terrible. It was a horrible thing. And then you could just see the penny dropped. Something about her father, the way that her father spoke to her when she was a young girl. You know, I mean, it was really, really interesting. But you need to, I guess, yeah, just have the, to stop and pause. And, you know, as you said, like with what you're experiencing at the moment, is actually take the time. Because I think the thing is, we are so on the, you know, in constant motion. And I know I can be very guilty of that myself. Is actually, if you don't stop, and whatever that is, whether that's going for a walk or meditating or whatever, but it's having that space to look at the stuff, because otherwise you can't do it.
No, and when you sometimes get in that space, I know for me, I'm very used to standing on the outside and looking in and mm-hmm. analysing it, dissecting it, figuring it out, and then letting it go or not letting it go or making a decision around it. You know, that's part of that control thing, and that there's definitely the harder place thing to do, because sometimes you just want to react and chuck a wobbly, you know, really go, that's what I want to do today, is just, but then as long as they're short-lived and they're not things that you hold on to, and, you know, it creates that sense of dis-ease in the body. It's pretty good. Sometimes you just need the wobblies, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and just get it out, let it out. Mm. This is a problem. Like I read something that recently is that we're made to feel guilty if we have a brain snap, and that's just you mean, so we've got to hold this all inside of us and be happy and, you know, positive and blah 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 the whole time. That's completely unnatural. That doesn't, you know, people are like that. That just doesn't exist. You know what I mean? It's like, so you need to have the release to sort of be able to reset and restart again and go, okay, great, I'm done.
Mm.
And
yes.
Whatever's triggering me, I understand that now. I've had my meltdown, and right now I can get back on the horse and keep going.
And it just reminds me, I babysat my 2-year-old granddaughter for a few hours yesterday, and we're at the park, and, you know, the worst thing you can do at the park is you want to go home. You know, that's the worst thing you can do for a 2-year-old is to say it's time to go home and or not give the 5-minute warning and do what a 2-year-old does and throws a wobbly and, you know, just walks off and cries and does the thing and then when you change distractor for a second, it's the mood's changed. No, I think that's what we forget to do as adults, that yes. It's okay to go, I don't want to do that. I can be angry. I can be frustrated. It's not what I want to do. Oh, okay. Oh, we're now doing something totally different and we've left that emotion behind. We're not going to carry that emotion into, you know, it was us walking home then. She was playing and chasing birds and totally distracted again. So it was actually, I hadn't thought about that till then, but what a great analogy. That's really good.
All this, you know, every personal growth, and I always laugh about this, is nothing like, you know, testing it with your children because they are the best. They are the best mirror and learning you can possibly have because they don't, they say it as it is.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're innocent, as you said with your granddaughter. It's like they don't carry around this baggage that we have because they're, you know, I mean, their stories aren't as strong as we have with adults and that sort of stuff. And it's a really, you know, talking about shining a light on your own stuff. It's your how your children are behaving and interacting and stuff like that. It's a really, really interesting thing, actually. It's very interesting.
And I suppose as a parent, you don't often have the time and opportunity and patience to notice it, whereas as a grandparent, that's your job, to have the time and emotion and patience. So I do notice a lot more of that and things that it identifying with. I'm going to look for more of these now within the kids. I think they're awesome.
We only notice the bad behaviour and not the good behaviour, so we don't, you know, when they're being good, so it's like, let's reward the good behaviour and ignore the bad behaviour. Unfortunately, it's the other way around with kids because when they're being good, that's something I try and do with my kids is just reinforce, you know, if they do something, I ask them, thanks, mate, no, that's great, or you know, if they're being really great or they're speaking to each other really well or being really caring and inclusive with each other, really love the way you're talking to each other, guys. Like, so it's just, it's not jumping down their throat when they're not. Mm. Actually, obviously it happens too, but it's just reinforcing and rewarding. And as adults, that's what we want too. That's the funny thing. We want that as well.
That's important, isn't it, that we can have that positive reinforcement. And this is one of the things with the when you're working as a solopreneur and a micro business and you're doing a lot of things yourself, and I'll be moving out of a space where I've had support and backup from others as well. I was at a chamber meeting this morning and discussing that particular point, that when you're doing it yourself, that's when you're missing out on that pat on the back going, you know what, you're looking at all the frustrations, it's not working, I've tried all this, it's not happening, but you haven't noticed that in the last so many months you've moved so far forward that the steps were small but you didn't notice it. So you forget to pat yourself on the back for doing it. That's exactly the same, isn't it?
It's funny, I was having a conversation with another lady that's sort of in around along the similar vein. She's in that stage where she's just starting her business and she's still working. And she said, oh, you know, if I could just stop working and I could spend all, devote all my time on my business, that would be, make it so much better and so much great. And, you know, it would move a lot faster and be more successful and stuff like that. And it was interesting because it's something I read or heard the other day. It's just like, but I said to her, how fantastic that your job is your venture capitalist for actually supporting and enabling you to start your business. And she just looked at me and she went, oh, wow, yes. So it's just changing that around, and you know, when it's ready, it will happen. You mean it will, you know, it will happen, and you'll know when it's ready to, when you're sort of that, you know, the break even line changes and you're generating that money from your business. But how amazing that you're in the position to be able to do that, that you've got a flexible work and do your business as well. And she was, that was just a, yeah, it was an interesting conversation to have. And also, you can't click your fingers and it happen overnight, because it just does that.
Just no, that's very rare. It's, you know, there'll be millions of businesses out there. There might be one that happens to them. But they're the ones you hear about, so you have the expectation that's exactly what's going to happen to you. But you know, you switching that around, and that's a lot of the things that we need to do, isn't it? Yes. Switch the conversation around, yes, to look at it from as if your best friend was trying to lift you up and encourage you, yes, you know, rather than you trying to find fault with yourself and what's going on.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, yeah, just supporting, I mean, yeah, supporting each other in any way that you can. Which is just, it's just, yeah, so important. And just, and being very mindful of your, what you say, what comes out of your mouth and how you framing it and that sort of thing is just, and I mean, it's a constant thing, an awareness to be, you know, to happen. It doesn't, but the more you do it, it's like, you know, flexing any muscle, the more you do it, the more it keeps happening. And then you get these amazing, fantastic results and you go, oh yeah, this actually does work. Yeah, let's keep doing this. But then, you know.
And that's, yeah, and look, that's the reason I started the mastermind groups, and it's because of exactly that reason. We don't, you know, that's why the women that come along are so enthusiastic about it, because they're with other people, not just to build that connection and you know, get advice and all of that which comes with it, but it's also to go, oh, I saw that you were doing that a couple of months ago and you've changed and you've look how successful you've been, and to be able to, you know, give them that pat on the back. Because we do need that external recognition as well. It does help us recognize ourselves if it's coming in externally.
Absolutely. And it's been, I think, and very much from first-hand experience, you know, I mean, the carrot is much, much more powerful than a stick. That's, you mean, and I think the I guess the next step on that, from that, Janine, is we actually have to believe that. We actually really believe that, because, I mean, when I first started my business and, you know, I was suffering huge imposter syndrome and doing everything I could do to sabotage what was going on and that sort of thing, one of my very, very close friends, and she's actually my main referrer, business referrer, said to me once, she said, if you could look in the mirror and see what I see when I look at you, she said, you would be unstoppable.
Wow.
And I went, wow, what an amazing thing. So it's getting that, you know, it's sort of, I guess, going that one step further and, you know, getting that external pat on the back and that external appellation, recognition and stuff like that, but it's actually 100% believing it inside, and that's where our money, that's where our stories get in the way of that, because we don't actually believe it.
Yeah. So, hearing it. Really hearing it, exactly. Believing it and owning it, so it becomes part of your DNA.
Yes, yes. But we're told that not to be loud and proud, and I think that's, you know, that's definitely a certain thing. That's a thing that women are very guilty of, is of, what do you want to call it, a tall poppy, or, you know, it's not being arrogant, it's just being confident. There's sort of a huge, and people get, I think there's this confusion around, if you are, you know, I guess, proud and confident and what you do, and just, and if you're genuine and authentic, it comes through when you're talking anyway. But it's really, and we've made, I think, you know, and that's definitely a very big story a lot for women, and why we undersell ourselves and stuff like that, because we're told that we shouldn't be.
Yes.
So that's probably, well, it's not probably, it is one of the really strong stories that we're told as females, to not be bold.
And unfortunately, most men, don't, you know, as most men go, oh, that's fine, but it's the women who then find fault with someone like that, and usually it's threatened, they're threatened, but that's a whole different conversation. Absolutely. About that as well. So, you know, the takeaway points from our conversation, Melissa.
Yes.
What do you want people to take away?
I guess, I think, and there's something keeps popping into my mind that we haven't touched on, but I think it's a really important aspect of, you know, and it probably circles back to my catchphrase is it's okay to not be okay with your money. Because I think in society today, there's, you know, number one, there's still quite a lot of taboos around money. We don't talk about money. You know, we're brought up, it's not good manners to talk about money and that sort of thing. But then there are people that are in the, you know, and particularly women in this situation that are in their own business or employed and they're extremely good at what they're doing. And there's, for some reason, there's this expectation that there's a direct correlation with people being good at what they do and being good with money. And actually, I can say unequivocally that is not true. because, yes, I work with a lot of people in that situation. Because they're not good with their money and there's this expectation that they are, there's a huge embarrassment factor around not being good with your money, which actually leads on to people putting themselves under huge financial pressure, and then coming in from the other angle, what defines success? What do we define as success and status and power in our society? It all comes back to money.
Mm.
So there's sort of those two things.
It does.
That really, I guess my huge takeaway is that that's actually not true, and it comes back to what does wealth mean? What is being wealthy?
Mm.
So I guess that's probably, and you know, and I've obviously not, you know, women to never be in the position to give away their power because of their story.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone put a thing up on Facebook the other day and it said, you know, what three things do you think most important? The family was arguing about it. It was one of those things where they try and get as many people to comment because it looks good. But it was an interesting state. It was an interesting thing. And then, you know, they're going, what's the most important time? And, you know, all this. And for me, the most important thing that I thought was your health. Yeah. I know so many people with so much wealth.
Yep.
And they've got all the time in the world. They've got beautiful family around them. They've got everything except they haven't got the health.
Absolutely.
And it just, yeah. I mean, they're all pillars under what we need to be what you would then call wealthy.
Yes.
But for me, health, you know, I'm just seeing it within family. They just haven't got the health and it affects their level of being.
Yes, absolutely. And I think my things I'm grateful for every day, my number one thing is always healthy and happy children and happy me, because that's, you mean, if we don't have that, it's not, I mean, and it's just, yeah, it's, there's nothing else really matters, really.
No. So that sort of comes back to, and the second takeaway with that as well, that it's okay not to be okay about money.
Yes.
The first one, yeah.
Yes. I can't remember what they are now.
it's all right. Everyone does that. Our relationship with money is usually a symptom of something else. Yes. Oh, I think we've covered a fair bit of that too. You know, it's belief systems and that, isn't it? You know, that.
Yes. And, you know, and that comes back to not giving, you know, understanding what your story is. Because I guess, you mean, the thing is with this, you need to go back and look at what you find out what your story is in the first place, or what your stories are, and challenge them whether they're even true. Because a lot of these stories are not even true. They might have been true when you were 4 years old and someone looked at you the wrong way, but as a 40-year-old adult female, it's not true. But for some reason, that story has been carrying, you are still carrying around that inside, and it's still impacting on you. So it's like challenging them whether they're even true. Are they serving you? Probably not. And then look at putting in place a relevant, positive, fantastic set of beliefs that you can use to build a compelling vision for the future right now. So I guess that's the sort of the process I work through with people around their money story.
Yeah, and that was your third takeaway point as well, that they have, that those stories have and laws and beliefs have a massive impact on that, everything that we do in our lives. And once you understand them, then that is where you can start moving forward, isn't it?
Yeah, you can just let them go. I mean, going back to that client I was telling you about, I mean, once she realised one of the, this, and this is a huge thing that she'd been carrying around all her life, she just started laughing and she said, "This is absolutely ridiculous." Mm. And when she realised what it was from and where it was coming from and the impact it had had on all aspects of her life. So it wasn't just about the money, it was just, and it came back to, I mean, the whole thing was if she spent money on herself, she was going to be punished based on an incident that happened when she was 10 years old. And she wow. has been carrying around that for 40 years or 30 years, mm-hmm. and that was why she would not spend money on herself. And it's just like when she had that realization, that transformation, mm-hmm. it was like, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it?
It's, I know. It was actually, and she'd never actually spoken to anyone about this in her life either. Yeah. That's
incredibly strong. So if anyone wants to work with you, Melissa, what do you do and how can they get in touch and let me know?
Okay, so I do a number of different things in with my business. So I've got a program that I can look at the sort of the external, tangible, know your numbers aspect to sort of create that efficiency and clarity and awareness and really knowing what's in your pot. Mm-hmm. Just when people are feeling, you know, maybe a bit under financial pressure or financial stress, it's important to sort of really gain that, you know, that control and be empowered around your external environment. And also for me, that creates the space then for people to go and look at their money story and their internal environment. So I do the external Know Your Numbers program. Mm-hmm. I also do a money story program, which is obviously the main thing we've been talking about today. And also then I do the two combined. So that's my steps to financial confidence. So that's the 3 months external money story, external Know Your Numbers, and then the 3 months on the working on your money story or stories.
Okay.
So the interesting thing is working with people around their money story, we actually don't often go number of meetings, we don't even talk about money.
Yeah, I can understand that from our conversation today. I definitely can understand it. And I can imagine just how it would change people's lives just to really change that story and as you said, remove that story as well. And things that could just have been holding people back for such a long time just to let go of it. So I imagine you work on and offline and face-to-face and a few different things.
Absolutely. Either do face-to-face or Skype or, I mean, over the phone or however people feel comfortable. But, yeah, I mean, geography is no barrier to working with me. I always like to meet my clients, particularly when you're talking about money, and obviously because there's an embarrassment factor and anxiety and stuff like that. So if I can meet people, I love to, but it's not a barrier to working together.
No. So getting in touch with you, I've got it down here. It's just emails, best, is it?
Probably email. Yeah. So Melissa,
No, you say it's sorry.
So melissa@talkingmoney.net.au. I also have a Facebook page, so you can go and like my Facebook page and you can contact me through private messenger.
Is that Talking Money, the Facebook page?
Yes, it's Talking Money. Mm-hmm. Is my Facebook page. I'm just going to tell you my – and also, I mean, if people are in Australia, they can just give me a call. My number is 0417-614-854. I'm really – happy just to catch up and have a chat with people if they're ready to do something different, if they're committed to make a change and do something different.
Mm, yeah, and just change that, you know, get out of that victim mode and change that whole mindset, especially if they're sitting in that scarcity and lack. But I was just thinking of the scarcity and lack, but as you said, for that other woman, obviously that's rewarding yourself and enabling yourself to spend money on yourself. Usually that's not a problem for most women, but it certainly would be understandable how it would be a major problem when you can't feel that you deserve something.
Yeah, so I mean, so her situation, so it's usually one extreme or the other. I mean, her situation, she'd put a heap of roadblocks in place before she very, like, hugely generous with other people and talking, you know, and spending money on other people, but you'd put all these roadblocks in place for herself before she would spend money on herself. And even when she passed, you know, got through them all, there still would be a delay. Mm. So there was sort of that, you know, but it's the other thing of going and spending excessively for that external hit, that external validation, that and but they're both tied up to our stories around self-worth, self-value, you know, just completely owning your own power.
Absolutely, they're
the same thing. They're just two extremes of how they come out. So they, you know, yeah. Again, it's money's a symptom, but not.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating subject. So you can get in touch with Melissa at melissa@talkingmoney.net.au, or you can call her on 0417 614 854. That's Australian number. So if you're ringing from overseas, it's a 61 in front of that and drop the zero. And you can also, as she said, go to her Facebook page, Talking Money. It has been, I've really enjoyed this. And the time always goes very quick. Once we sort of get into really interesting subjects, and it's just, look, as I just said, it can change people's lives. Thank you, Melissa. It's been fun.
Thank you for having me, Janine. It's been great.
Most welcome. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm Janine Vosper, your host, and I look forward to you joining me next time. And bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.